I would like to read out of 1 Corinthians just a little portion here before I start. Starting at 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I just want to bring to your remembrance that in the book of Luke, when the Lord made his first appearance in his hometown, and on the Sabbath day, he went as the custom was, and the book of Isaiah was delivered to him, and he turned to Isaiah 61, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to heal those that are bruised. And he says, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the people wondered, it says, at the graciousness that was upon him. And he stood and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. And they're all of a sudden stunned, because they realized that the only one that could do that was Messiah. And then Jesus said, and no prophet is without honor, save in his own country and amongst his own kinsmen. And by the end of that little session there, he said, I tell you that there were many widows in Zarephath at the time of Elijah, when there was a great famine on the earth for 3 years and 6 months, but Elijah was sent to no one save Sarepta at Zarephath. And he says that there was a lot of lepers in Israel at the time of Naaman the Syrian, but he was not sent except to Naaman. And they went to drag him off, they drug him to the brow of the hill, and were going to throw him off a cliff, and he disappeared amongst them. I believe he probably translated, but he just slipped out between them, and they didn't know what happened to him. But the bottom line is, a prophet is not without honor in his own country. And there's something here that, when we were talking here in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul's words, no man knows the things of the Spirit, save the Spirit of God, and no man knows the things of man, save the Spirit of man. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And I believe that what the Lord is speaking to my heart right now, a great vulnerability, and that for the hour that's coming, in the same way that if God is getting this to himself in a most powerful way, which we really believe that he is, that's a word that I have had from the beginning, is that God is going to manifest his glory. The devil's not going to go out with a roar and the Lord go out with a whimper. It's not going to happen. The Lord is Alpha and Omega. He has the last word. But the tendency, as with you could see with Jesus in his own hometown, is it says in the scripture, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, henceforth know we him no more that way. I believe that most people that I know that are religious people, or people that go to church a lot or do all these things, know the flesh. They start at the beginning back in a crib at Christmas time and put a little donkey all up in a manger. That's not who Jesus is. At this point of his eternal existence, he is the Son of God without beginning of days. Jesus doesn't have a birthday. Maybe after the flesh, yes, but that was not who Jesus was. Without beginning of days, without end of life, it says in Hebrews. Eternal. That the glory that I had with you, Father, before the world began. That's what he was praying when in John 17. And the thing that's so critical in this, I want to break your remembrance, John the Beloved, who had leaned on Jesus' breast on the Isle of, when he saw him on the Isle of Patmos. And I just bring to remembrance that scene. He says, I turned to hear the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. The sound of his voice was like the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. That's who Jesus was. And John had known Jesus after the flesh. And the tendency with all of us, this is a very vulnerable time, because the tendency is the same thing they did with Jesus at his own hometown. We know this man. Is this not the carpenter's son? His brothers and his sisters. Yeah, we know this guy. From whence hath this man these mighty words and these works? And they were offended at him. They were very offended. And how very easy it is for us to know Christ after the flesh, to know our brothers after the flesh, to know ourselves after the flesh. And every one of those things will be an absolute limiting mindset that will cause us to do the same thing the children of Israel did in the wilderness, which with natural eyes, with natural ears, looked at the circumstances and missed the Lord. And the Pharisees, who were the most educated in the things of the word and the law, I think it says, even John the Baptist said, and I knew him not. I think he said that twice. John the Baptist said that, and I think there's four times. And then the people are going, well, the Pharisees are going, well, we know that no prophet comes out of Nazareth. Search the scriptures and see, or out of Galilee. And they had all their limiting, they had it all figured out in their mind. But when God is getting ready to manifest his glory, it's going to be critical that in our mindset and the way we view the days we're coming into, one another, ourselves, and the Lord, is critical that we get rid of the natural mind that does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, and will limit utterly what God wants to do, and will be very easy as God desires and begins to manifest himself in these peculiar vessels that we are, every one of us carrying this treasure in a very earthen vessel. We all get up in the morning, we have to shave, some of us, and the ladies don't, but the men have things and the women have things they got to do, and we look in the mirror and we see the natural part of our life. But the thing is, it says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. I think it's kind of, I had an analogy that I looked at years ago, and that is the concept, I used to pan gold, and a man showed me how he would take this big pan of gold. It was a great big pan. He'd fill it with gravel. I'd fill it up with gravel and sand and all this, and then he'd take this little nugget the size of a pinhead and toss it in there. He'd say, find it. And he showed me how to do it, and I could find it every single time. And sometimes it's like to discern the planting of the Lord in one, and not just look at the vessel and know one another after the flesh with the natural mind, with the natural reasonings, is the critical issue between life and death and the way we deal with our brothers and sisters and the way we view ourselves. I believe the scripture has two applications. We look at the one at communion time that says, for this cause many are weak, and many are sickly among you, and many are dead. Because you do the Lord's body. It may be at communion time we need to examine ourselves and make certain that we don't have bitterness toward anybody, unforgiveness, or somebody we need to make it right with before we take communion, or any hidden issues in our own life, because I believe we will eat and drink damnation to ourselves. But I also believe without a doubt that when it says in there, because many are weak and sickly among you, because you don't just... Lord says that the gifts and callings of God, it says he hath divided these gifts to every man severally, as he will other the Lord, as far as the gifts of the Spirit within them. And it's very critical. Many times this gift of God that lies dormant in the bosom of brother or sister may go to the grave with them, and many are weak and many sickly, because that word of knowledge that could have set many brothers and sisters free from their prisons because of just the insight of the Lord in their situation. But it never came forth, and weakness and sickness and death comes from it. Or the gifts of healing that lies dormant in the bosom of our brothers and sisters that isn't functioning in the way that it could because we're not discerning the Lord's body and the planting of the Lord in one another. And that can go in all of the gifts of the Spirit and many other manifestations of Christ in one another because we go, I know him. That's the carpenter's son. He's got four brothers and sisters. That's the guy that's got the big dog and the Toyota truck, you know. We can know one another, but it's time for us to open our eyes by the Spirit and begin to discern Christ in one another and not know one another after the flesh, but begin to discern the planting of the Lord God has planted, just like gold in a gold pan full of gravel. There's nuggets in there, and that's that eternal thing that God has put within there, the gifts and callings of God that are without repentance that God has planted in your brother and sister. And it's critical that we change and get our mindset dealt with right now. If we're going to, in this hour, not miss the Lord, and through unbelief, just like the people that knew Jesus, they didn't have any natural fault. We know this. We know this guy. Whence hath this man these mighty works? We're familiar with him. We're very familiar. And you can do that with your wife. You can do that with your brother, your sister, your father, and we can even do it with the Lord, that we know him. Yeah, we got the story of the fig tree. And the Lord says, no. The only way you're going to know Christ is by the Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. When he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. The only way we're going to discern Christ in one another, and even discern Christ, we limit ourselves the same way when I know my failures. I know my weakness. I know the times that I have to wrestle, I have to bring my thoughts captive. I know how many times I've, stumbled and had to get up again. Whatever. We can know ourselves, but we have got to discern the planting of the Lord in ourselves, in our family, in our wives, in our brethren. And we've got to begin to discern Christ by the Spirit, because the only way we're going to know the Lord Jesus Christ is not with the carnal mind. It's by the, as he says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. The heart, and it's just through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. If you want to perceive God, it's going to be with the heart by faith and the breathing of the Holy Spirit upon the written Word so that it becomes spirit and life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Do you know his words as spirit and life, or as an intellectual apprehension, or natural understanding? Because God wants us to get out of the realm of the natural mind. It says in the Scripture, they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But yeah, I would encourage you to read that 1 Corinthians 2, just that whole portion there about the natural man, the natural mind that doesn't understand. It says, what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man, which is in him? And no man knows the things of God save the spirit of God, which is in him. And the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. The only way we're going to get out of this limiting mindset and be able to perceive and flow with God in this hour when he does awesome things, when he comes to bear his holy arm before the nation, when he comes to shake all things, when the Lord is going to take these earthen vessels and manifest his glory in a way that the book of Acts never knew. And he wants to use natural people, and there are going to be an awful lot of people. I'm just here to tell you whether you like it or not. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be offended when God uses these natural vessels, when God does mighty things, the men of wisdom, the men, but hey, wait a minute. How can this man, whence hath this man these words? He's being unlearned. How can he be? But the Spirit can teach the real learning. It's not the things that you learn at a Bible school. It's not the things by intellectual apprehension. It's the revelation of the Holy Ghost that a man knows God. It's the revelation of the Holy Ghost that a man's, the Word of God becomes the words of life. As Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Think of his word, spirit and life. You can't know them. except by the revelation of the Spirit. And Jesus opened their understanding so they could understand the Scriptures. What did he do? Quickened their spirit of God within. The Holy Spirit breathed upon them. They saw by revelation what they could never understand with their carnal mind. And so it is in this hour. God is wanting to take us out of, I believe a brother said one time, he said, I believe the church right now is living on crackers, and God wants to set a feast before them. They've got some dry bread they're feasting on, but God wants to set a feast before them. He wants to take this word and quicken it, that we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that his words are quickened within us, and we see things by revelation. We see this, as Paul cried out, he says, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come, and gave him to be head over all things unto the body, which is, over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God wants to open our understanding with a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He wants to quicken the word of God to us so it's no more letter, so that we don't know Christ anymore after the flesh. We don't know our brother after the flesh. We begin to see the planting of the Lord in one another, and to begin to discern by the Spirit the gift of God, and to draw that thing out, that planting of the Lord, and give place. We don't need to give place to our brother's flesh. We need to have, as it was, love that covers a multitude of sins. That's dealing with the natural vessel. But we also need the faith of Christ, the discernment of the Spirit, to discern the planting of the Lord in one another, and to give place to that which is holy, which God has planted there, which is eternal. Because that gift of God, if he's made that brother an eye, you want to hear from him about seeing. If he's made him an ear, you want to hear from him about hearing. And that part that God's given him, that unique perspective that only the eye has, only the ear has. A mouth is saying, proclaim the gospel. The feet say, go into all the world. The hand says, reach out and touch your neighbor. The heart says, feel the burden of the Lord. God wants every one of us to begin to discern Christ in one another, to begin to draw out the gift of God, and to not be surprised when God takes and pours forth his glory through earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God is getting ready to do awesome things, and we can very well hinder it in our own life, in our brother's life, and we can very much have a natural mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ like the whole church does. They know him after the flesh. They're out there celebrating his birthday. Give him a little birthday present at Christmas time. I'm telling you what, brothers, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who humbles himself to look on the heavens and the earth, is without beginning of days, without end of life. One more picture of Jesus, and I saw heaven opened, and I saw a white horse, and behold, he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He has a name written that no man knows but he himself. He is clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations, rule them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. That's Jesus Christ. And we need a revelation of Jesus by the Spirit, and it'll bring a whole new perspective, because if we're still looking for him at Christmas time, we're missing him completely. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha, the Omega. He says, he put his right hand on John when he fell at his feet as a dead man and said, fear not, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and behold, I have the keys of death and hell. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got the keys of hell and death. He's the first word, the last word. And brethren, it's time for us, by the grace of God, to come out of the carnal mind, come out of the natural man, the natural mind, which will not receive the things of the Spirit, and to come into the Holy Spirit of God, where we can see things by the Spirit, where they're quickened, illuminated, and we'll begin to draw out the gift of God in one another. And when our brothers start manifesting the glory of God and the gift of Christ in a powerful way, we won't be offended. But we know that guy. What's he doing? I know him. I know that guy. He's got a big old garden. He lives up on the hill. I know him. No. If you don't know Christ in one another, you don't know him. It's a unique and wonderful thing that God has placed his treasure within each one of us. That planting of the Lord, the gift of Christ, the gifts and callings of his eternal kingdom, he's placed them within us, and we need to honor that and give place to that, the planting of the Lord in one another. And we're going to begin to see the glory of God revealed. And then instead of hindering, we'll be a great asset and begin to encourage our brothers and draw out. Instead of seeing our brothers as a bonehead, we'll say, that's a mighty man of valor. Praise God. Or this sister, oh, I know her. This is a gracious woman of God. And begin to speak that life into one another, draw out the gift of Christ in one another, and strengthen that part, which is Christ's treasure, and not to be offended or turned aside or just to look at them after the flesh, but to begin to draw out the gift of God in one another, because it's critical that the way of the Lord is prepared in our hearts and in our minds to receive what God is going to do in this hour, because very easily it could come and pass us by, just like the Pharisees, and they knew him not. Even John the Baptist said, and I knew him not. Only he that said to me, that upon whom you see the Spirit descending as a dove, he it is that baptizes with the Holy Ghost, and I knew him not. He couldn't see him. You can't see Jesus. You can see him, natural Jesus. You see him in the church. They have this image of Jesus. That ain't who he is. They're in for a shock. Because who Jesus is, I mean, even John, when he writes in the book of John, he says, and I suppose that if all the things that should be written, the world could not contain the books that should be written. We need a revelation of this Jesus who humbles himself to look on the heavens of the earth, who stretched forth the heavens like a curtain and as a vesture. He'll gather them up and cast them aside. Who with his word, the Omega, will speak, and the universe is going to melt with a fervent heat. But he's created a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So brethren, prepare your hearts, because the Lord's coming. And unless we see by the Spirit, we'll miss him just like they did in his day.